Amen. Well, I'm going to begin a new series in this session and lay a foundation on the goodness of God, literally, and how that God is good, and that we have to have that so deep in our heart and an understanding of God's goodness toward us that we can respond properly now to all the bad things that are happening in our world. And there's a lot of evil in this fallen world. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of things happening that are just not good. And how do we as the people of God need to relate to God in all the bad things that are happening in our world? In Romans chapter 8, in a moment I'll go to verse 28, but Paul, at the end of that chapter, and Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and in that chapter, he just unveils literally the goodness of God toward us, the plan of God that is nothing but good for each and every one of us. And at the end of that chapter, he says that he was fully persuaded that there is not life or death or demons and angels and height or width or length or trials or tribulations or persecutions that would be able to separate him from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. I pray that each and every one of us get to the place early in our lives that we're fully persuaded that nothing can separate me from God's love. I believe with all my heart, as a pastor, if I was to have a pop quiz today and pass out paper, and there'd be a question on there, is God good? I believe, now before I say that, let me scan the crowd real quick. I believe that 90-something percent of you would get an A. You would check, yes, God is good. The second question on the pop quiz would be, do you believe, theologically, do you believe with all of your heart God is good? Some of you would even get creative and you would write on there after yes, you'd write all the time to impress me. The problem is, while I believe everyone would pass the test, the pop quiz test, in the test of life, many of us are failing. Many of us are doubting. Many of us face something that shakes our world to its very core and can cause us to begin to waver, can cause us to begin to doubt if God really does love me. We'll hear in our heart many times and in our minds when something bad happens, if God loves me, why did this happen to me? Or you'll get shook in your belief systems that I do believe God is good, and I've said on the test all the time, but in this situation that I'm experiencing, the death of my child, the diagnosis of a terminal disease, the loss of my spouse, do I really believe and am I fully persuaded? Perhaps some of you are even persuaded, but not fully persuaded. God wants you to be fully persuaded that nothing that happens to you in this life, nothing that's happening in our world can separate you from the love God has for you in Christ Jesus. And that's my goal. At the end of this, I pray that all of us have taken one step closer to being fully persuaded of God's love for us. All right, let's begin in one of the most controversial verses in the Bible, I believe, and that is misquoted, misused, and abused as much as any scripture in the Bible, and that's Romans 8, 28, and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Then he tells us his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And there's a word that throws people into a tailspin, so we'll look at that. Predestinate to be conformed into the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Again, out of all the scriptures that are quoted to me, this passage is quoted the most and misquoted the most. There are people that have never opened a Bible that can quote that scripture. And when something bad happens and something's going on that's crazy, they say something like, well, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. No, I don't know the Bible says all things work together for good. All things do not work together for good for everybody. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. That's totally different. Oh, amen. If you're going to do it, let's do it because it is good. That passage, that promise is conditional. It's not just automatic. It's not just going to happen for everybody that all things work together for good. Many things aren't working together for people's good. Many things that are bad are destroying people's lives. And God's promise isn't that everything's going to work out for good. God's promise is a conditional promise, and we have to position ourselves to receive that. While it is abused and misused on this end, we need to make sure we get way over here as far as we can get, because you talk about a promise. That's one of the most powerful promises in the entire Word of God. To those of you that love God, to those of you that are called according to His purpose, I don't care what has happened to you. I don't care how bad it is. God has promised you and I. For me today, I know that I know, and I'm fully persuaded that all things are going to work together for my good, because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. So let's talk about those things, because again, this promise is conditional. All right? All things are not good or God. That passage didn't say all things are good. I've heard from pulpits people say that everything is good and everything that happens to you is good. And I'm here to tell you, I've been breathing a long time, and there's a lot of bad things that happen to good people. And not everything that happens to you is good. It can be worked together for good. Good can be brought out of it. God wants to use it to bring a redemptive value to your life. But it didn't say everything was good, and it didn't say everything was God. Again, bad things happen to good people. And unfortunately, after all of these years of ministry, I still hear people blame God for things God has nothing to do with. I hear God's name slandered constantly, His character impugned. I hear people not only blame God, but are mad at God falsely and are confused. I believe that, again, it's easy to get confused maybe in this area, but we don't have to. And the reason people get confused is because bad stuff happens again to good people, and it affects our emotions when a bad thing happens to us, and it can affect your reasoning and ability to reason properly. And people haven't been taught how to deal with their emotions in a bad thing and how to deal with your reasoning when something bad happens to you, because you need a biblical view of bad things and why bad things happen, and then how to relate to God properly in those bad things. God's not the author of any bad or evil in our lives. And no matter how much His character is assaulted, God is not the author of things that steal and kill and destroy in people's lives. Many times, amen, amen. Many times things will be said even at a funeral, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but two teenagers will be killed in a car accident. And someone will stand up and say, somehow or another, God did that, and He had this higher purpose. And then they'll have an altar call, and two people will get saved, and they'll say, see, God brought good out of that. They literally accuse God of killing two people so two people could get saved. How many people and how many thousands of people could have got saved if those two young people had lived to be 80 to 100 years old and glorified God their entire life? Thousands could have been saved. Just because God brings something good out of something bad doesn't mean He does bad things. And we have to be fully persuaded of this. I'm telling you, even Christians aren't fully persuaded of it. There are people even in our midst, and your heart's right, and I'm not trying to be mean to you, but you've been taught and you believe that God is making you sick to teach you something. Well, first of all, if God's the one that made you sick to teach you something, please learn what He's trying to teach you fast, or you're going to die. You're going to die. And if you believe God's making you sick to teach you something, why are you fighting against God taking medicine? Why'd you go to a doctor? If God made you sick to teach you something, take your medicine. The truth is, you don't believe God's the one making you sick, and you're fighting sickness because you know on the inside of you something's not right about sickness. Something's not right about sin. Something's not right about evil. Something's not right about bad things. And God is not the author of any of these things. Again, I'm not saying God won't teach you something in sickness. I'm not saying God won't teach you something if you have a tragedy. I'm not saying God isn't with you. I'm not saying God's not in it. I'm not saying God's not working in it. I'm saying God didn't do it. And yes, He can teach you anything with anything, but it doesn't mean He does bad things even to teach us something. You know, I taught my kids constantly to look both ways before they cross the street, because cars will kill you. Can I get a witness on that at least? Cars will kill you dead. And so I would tell them, look, after church, don't run out into the parking lot. You don't understand. There are people trying to get out of here and they're in a hurry. They're not real happy with me. So don't get in the parking lot. It's a dangerous place right after church. So don't get behind a car. But what if somebody backed over one of my children and they lived through that bad thing? I would teach them and I would remind them. I would take them back to how many times I've told them, look both ways. Don't get behind a car. Make sure you're being proactive in being around vehicles. So first thing I would do is remind them of how many times I've taught them before that happened. And yes, I would teach them, do you feel the pain? Yes, Dad, don't get behind cars anymore. I would teach them. But what would you think of me if I got in a car and backed over them so I could teach them cars will kill them? You'd put me in jail if I did something like that. You would think I'm evil. You would think that's terrible. You'd call DHS in a heartbeat. Yet you'll stand up and blame God for things you'd put me in jail for. God's not the author of all this evil. God's not the author of all this bad. He's not the author of all the pain in this world and the death in this world. And on it can go. God is just with us in it to bring us through it and to bring something redemptive out of it if we love him and we're called according to his purpose. So I'll expand a little bit on that. Here's what I believe is the primary source. There are many reasons why people falsely accuse God, but one of the reasons is a misunderstanding of sovereignty. People have been taught that God is sovereign. And somehow or another, the problem with the teaching of God's sovereignty is not the teaching, it's the application of the teaching. God is sovereign, but if you look sovereignty up in a dictionary, it just means independent. God's independent. Nobody's telling him what to do and how to do it, and he's sovereign. He's over all. But somehow or another, in the teaching of sovereignty, people get confused thinking God, because he's sovereign, is doing everything bad, even that's happening in the earth, and he's not. And I'm going to show you that as we walk through it. Here's the number one thing I hear the most when I'm trying to help people. What God allows, he must will. Well, what do you mean God didn't will this for me? He allowed it. And if he's sovereign, if he's all-powerful, if he loves us, he allowed it, so he must have willed it. I'm here to tell you, God allows a lot of things he does not will. And we've got to get that straight in our hearts if we're going to be fully persuaded of his goodness in our life. God will allow you right now to get up and leave this assembly and go commit a hideous act of sin. But you'll never convince me he wills that or preordained that or has anything to do with you getting up and leaving this assembly and going in sin. Will he bring good out of it? Yeah, if you love him, repent, and you're called according to his purpose that I'll explain here in a minute. He can bring good out of anything, but he doesn't will for you to sin. God allows a lot of things he doesn't will. People get murdered every day, and God allowed it. Does that mean God wills for people to kill each other? God forbid. God allows, if you will, a child to be molested. Does that mean God willed that somehow? Does it mean he ordained it somehow? Does it mean he would do something that hideous to even bring something of redemptive value out in years to come? God forbid. We've got to get this out of our heart that just because God allows something, that doesn't mean he necessarily wills it. And I hope to expound on that a little. All right, here's the second problem that comes out of a confusion of sovereignty. God is controlling everything. Somehow or another, because God is sovereign, he's controlling every single thing in your life and every single thing in the world. It's almost sad how messed up people's head can get buying into some theology like that. That we're just puppets in the hands of God. We have no choice. We have no free will. We have no responsibility. You know, if everything that's happening to me right now is God's will and him somehow controlling me, why am I going to have to give an account for every word spoken and every deed done in the day of judgment? Because I have a free will, that's why. And what I do matters. It affects people. It affects lives. And so just because, listen, this is important, just because I believe God's in control, that doesn't mean I believe he's controlling everything and everybody. Ultimately, God is in control. Don't misunderstand me. He gave you a free will. You can exercise that free will, but you're going to give an account because God is ultimately in control. And at the end of the age and at the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom, God is going to reconcile all things back unto himself. He's going to balance out every account. And we're going to rule and reign on this earth forever with the Lord, with no devil, no sin, no darkness. So yeah, God's in control. But that doesn't mean he's controlling everything, especially doing bad things. All right, what are the conditions of Romans 8, 28 and 29? Number one condition, now this is a rhetorical question. I don't have time to do it, but I have a mean streak today. How many of you want all things to work together for your good? See, some of you didn't raise your hand. I'm praying for you because it isn't going to be automatic. I want all things to work together for my good. So number one, if you read verses 1 through 27, you'll find God's not condemning us. God's dealt with our sins. And then you'll find God has a plan that he's still working in the earth. And in Romans chapter 8, it says that the earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. See, we've been made the sons of God. We've been made the daughters of God, and we've been given the down payment, the Holy Spirit. But we've not been manifested as the sons of God in the sense of, can I get a witness? Your body is purchased, but it's not redeemed. It is saved, future tense. It's been paid for, it's been bought, but it's not been changed yet. And so the earth is groaning, waiting for the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom, and us manifested as the sons of God. Number two, it says that we who are saved, we're groaning in ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Anybody besides me wish you had a redeemed body, a glorified body, a body like Jesus? I mean, on the inside, man, I'm groaning on the inside. And it's not that I want to take this body off. We call that death. Amen. I do want to take this body off, but I want my new body. And I got the down payment, the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to get one at the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom. So then it says that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered because we know not what to pray for as we ought. So you got the earth groaning, we're groaning, Holy Ghost is groaning. I know some of you, you're always groaning and moaning. Amen. So we just got to get the right groaning going on here and quit this groaning and moaning about poor me and why'd this happen to me and God's mad at me and God's against me. No, God is good. And I'm fully persuaded that God is good all the time. So let's just wrap it up in one word. For those that are going to have all things work together for the good, you better be praying. You better be praying. Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Ghost is interceding with groanings that can't be uttered. In other words, if all things are going to work together for my good, I've got to be seeking God. I've got to be praying. And even when I don't know what to pray as I ought, I got to trust the Holy Spirit in that intercession. So that's number one, prayer. We need to be praying about what just happened to us. We need to pray. We need to seek God. When I say prayer, I'm not talking about what people think all of a sudden. I'm talking about in simplicity turning to God. I don't know about you, but everything that happens to me, I turn to God and I talk to God about it. I look to God. I look to Jesus now, the author and finisher of my faith. Number two, all things are going to work together for good to them that love God. Not everybody loves God. And I know that's hard for some of you to grasp. I know a lot of our young people struggle with this reality that people do not love God. They choose to not love God. They choose to hate God. People hate God. And yes, we're supposed to witness to them, but listen to me, and this is profound for many of you, and you got to think with me here for a minute. When you come out of your body, you are still you. You are not your body. You are in your body. And when you come out of your body, you don't change. If you hate God in your body, you hate God when you come out of your body. If you hate Christians while you're in your body, you will hate them when you come out of your body. If you're mean in your body, you'll be mean when you get out of your body. Now, I know that's so simple, people miss it, but I'm telling you, most of you, if you're honest, you've got some kind of idea that these mean, evil, ungodly people that are in our world, somehow or another, when they die, God's going to have some special thing for them, and they're going to change in their attitude. No, who you are in your body is who you are when you come out of your body. So I recommend while you're in your body, get saved. Get born again. Get a new heart. Become a new person inside that body. So when you come out of that body, you're the person that meets God and the person you want to be when you meet God. I'm going to deal with hell just here in passing. But there's so many misconstrued ideas about hell. And again, everybody at large that I know believes when someone who hates God gets out of their body, somehow or another they're going to change their mind and love God. They're going to hate God when they come out of their body. I remember years ago when I'd teach on the streets and minister and witness in tennis classes and all kinds of things, I would mess up and I would say things like, "Hey, do you want to go to heaven?" I learned the hard way, you never witness that way and ask people, do they want to go to heaven? They don't even want to come to church. Why would they want to go to heaven? If they don't want to be with you now, what makes you think they want to go into heaven and be with you? Amen. Yes, it's the truth. As painful as that may feel at the moment. The bottom line is not everybody loves God. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey me. Listen to me. Believe me. Do what I tell you to do. Don't do what the world tells you to do. Do what I tell you to do if you love me. And I'm telling you, our world is filled with people who do not love God. And our job at this point is to keep taking them the love God has for them. For them. Number three is his purpose. All things are going to work together for good to them who love God, that's you and I, and are called according to his purpose. Not your purpose, not mom and dad's purpose, not my purpose, his purpose. Well, what is God's purpose? Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestinate. God's purpose is in his predestination that he foreknew before the foundations of the world. The problem with this word right here is as soon as I say predestinate, 9 out of 10 people immediately think of heaven or hell. And who did God predestinate to go to hell? And who did God predestinate to go to heaven? That is sad that we're that messed up. That we think God, there are preachers that are preaching today that God literally created a human being for hell. And I know this is controversial, and this gets me in more trouble than you can imagine. But I don't know this God they're talking about. I don't know a God that would create a human being and ordain before the foundations of the world for that human being to go to a devil's hell. You'll never be able to convince me of that. Ever, ever, ever. And the problem with our theology is mixed up there from the start. Predestination. They think of destination. A destination, a final destination, and they say it's either heaven or it's either hell. How many of you know that heaven is not your final destination? That's not enough of you. If you die today, you will go to heaven. You will instantly, because I believe heaven and earth are just overlapping right there. I believe if you died instantly, you're in the presence of Jesus and you're in one of the heavens. You're in the presence of Jesus. But guess what? Jesus is coming back for us, and if he comes back while I'm still alive, he's bringing you back with him. Why is he bringing you back with him? Because he's making a new heaven and a new earth. And your final destination isn't heaven. Your final destination is the earth where there's no more devil, no more sin, no more darkness, and we're ruling and reigning. That's your destination, but let me tell you what your destiny is. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate a destiny to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is God's ultimate purpose for me? Is that I look like Jesus, I walk like Jesus, I talk like Jesus. And that's not limited just to holiness. I've taught you recently on the beauty of holiness. Jesus was holy. We need to be holy. But let me tell you something else Jesus was. He was bold as a lion. Let me tell you something else he was. He had authority and he exercised it and he rebuked the devil and shipped his saddle home. He overcame sin. He overcame sickness. He overcame Satan. He overcame death. And ultimately, you and I are going to overcome death. It'll be the last enemy put under my feet. But till then, I'm going to put every other enemy under my feet. And death one day will bow to my feet. That's your destination, is to exercise the authority of God in the earth. Overcome sin. Overcome everything darkness throws at you. And to them that love God and are called according to His purpose, God is working everything together for good. God can even take a bad thing in my life now that He did not do, that He did not will, but He doesn't leave me in it. He's with me in it, and He can walk me through it, teaching me and showing me the authority I have, the power I have in the name of Jesus now, and the authority that Jesus has given us to overcome whatever that is in my life, and not only triumph always in all things, but now help everybody in this world overcome the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is God's destiny for you, is overcoming the world. Amen? All right. Three things working in the earth. I don't know why people don't understand this. Because the reason people come up with the theology that God's doing everything is they don't understand forces that are at work in this world. God is working in the world. God is in control. God is ultimately going to reconcile all the books, and everything's going to be okay in the end of the end. But while God is working in the earth, listen to what Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, you've got to pray. Remember what the three things are that qualify everything working together for good? Jesus said, pray, and here's how you pray. One of the things you pray, he says, you pray like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Listen, if God's will was automatic in the earth and everything that's happening in the earth is God's will, why did Jesus teach us to pray for his will to be done? Because God's will isn't being done in the earth. God's will won't be done in the earth if we don't pray. God's will won't be done in the earth if we don't do what we're called to do. And so God is working in the earth. Don't misunderstand me. God is working in all things. But he told me I better pray his kingdom come to whatever situation I'm facing and his will be done. Father, I pray your will be done. This bad thing just happened to me and I am messed up. My feelings are all out of whack and emotions are tormented. I'm a little confused. I don't know why this happened or how it happened. And man, I'm confused. I'm like a termite in a wooden yo-yo here. That'll hit the rest of you later. Let that go. I mean, I'm just spinning all around. And I know this, Lord, I'm going to seek you in this. And I'm asking for your kingdom to come into my problem. I'm asking your will be done now in this earth, in my situation, as it is in heaven. That guy's going to have all things work together for their good. And that's the promise of God. So God is working, don't misunderstand me, but there is a devil. There is a devil. And John 10:10 says, here's how you discern the devil. The thief, he's a thief. He came to steal, he came to kill, and he came to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. So we're supposed to be trained now. Okay, anything that steals, kills, and destroys, that's the devil. Anything that's life and life in abundance, that's God. When people get upset and destroy private property, when people burn down cities, that's not God. That's not good. Everybody should be able to go, something's not right with this picture. Jesus said, stealing, killing, and destroying is the devil. So I got to train the whole country. Look at me. Stealing other people's stuff in the name of some righteous cause, that's the devil. Amen. Killing, that's the devil. Amen. And destroying stuff is the devil. where you see life, where you see light, where you see God's goodness. That's God's fingerprints on that. I don't understand all the purposes of the devil. That's one of probably the most complex things to iron out, take the rest of our life. And I think we're still seeing through a glass darkly. But one day we'll understand that perfectly. But I do know this about the devil. I do know God has bound him and chained him to darkness. When the devil was kicked out of heaven and the angels fell, Peter said they were chained to darkness. Well, how do you chain a physical devil with a physical chain to physical darkness? Darkness is evil. Darkness is sin. God Almighty has restricted Satan, and he can only travel and traffic in darkness. That's why God tells you and I, the children of the light, don't go over on the dark side. Stay in the light as Jesus is in the light, and the blood of Jesus is going to cleanse you now from all unrighteousness, and Satan will have no place in you. But if I choose with a bad choice to walk over here into darkness, that's the highway of the devil. And if you get run over by the devil, God didn't do it. Amen. Third force that's working in the earth, creating pain for most of us, is people. Now listen to this. This is so simple, but I get amazed at what we don't know sometimes. It's like, I'm not saying I'm bright. I'm saying this is simple. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says the works of the flesh are adultery and slander and gossip and strife and contention and lust. The works of the what? It's not the works of God. Listen, and it's not the works of the devil. It's people with a free will and allowed to exercise that free will that are exercising it under the temptation of the devil, and now it's stealing, killing, and destroying in their lives. And some of the things that happen to us, it's the devil. A lot of the other things that happen to us, it's people with a free will exercising that free will for evil. And God asks you and me to love these people and promises us if we're done wrong, and we will be. And if bad stuff happens to us, and it will happen, God's going to work it together for our good if we pray, if we love him, and we're called according to his purpose. And no matter how you feel or what it looks like, Jesus is coming back, and everything is going to be fixed. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. There will be no more sin. There will be no more sickness. There'll be no more poverty. There'll be no more injustice. There'll be no more tears. I'm going to wipe away every tear. Everybody that has died, everybody that's been murdered, every rape victim, every child molested, God is going to balance those books in his judgment at the last day. And I don't care what has happened to you. Romans chapter 8 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, glory's coming. Yeah, you've been done wrong. Yeah, that was bad. Yeah, that was just terrible. But the glory that shall be revealed in you when Jesus comes back and eternity with God, God's going to make up any sufferings of this present world. And I have that full assurance. I'm sorry, I'm getting all excited because I'm fully persuaded that nothing will separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. So we got man now doing things. How many of you know if there was construction going on around here and there's a two wires hanging down with a 220 voltage, I recommend you not grab it. And if you grab it and are fried to the toenails, I'm not going to tell everybody at your funeral God did it. God had nothing to do with you grabbing that 220. And I'm not even going to tell them at your funeral the devil did it. I'm going to tell them Dum Dum killed you. I think I just got out of all the funerals. Praise God. There's some things that happened to us. It was poor choices. It was ignorance, and that offends people. Every time this one I've never figured out. I kind of think I do, but I don't want to go there. But I'll tell people, we're just ignorant. And they'll have a fit. He called me ignorant. Like you aren't. We're all ignorant about something. And I'm telling you, if you grab a 220, I'm just trying to help you. Don't do it. Ignorance will kill you. Is the point. And it's not God. And it wasn't his will. And it's not the devil. It's just us. We have a free will and we must exercise it wisely or there's consequences. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. This is the passage that was foundational for me that dealt with the sovereignty of God. Especially God predestinating people for devil's hell. Look at this right here. Verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, everybody say now. By the same word, if you read verses 6 backwards to 1, the same word is the word of God. I don't have time to read those passages, but it's the word of God. So let's read it again, and remember, this is God's word. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of who? Ungod. There's one day coming. That's the appearing of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And this says there will be a fire that will purge this earth and specifically ungodly people. That's why we've got to reach out to ungodly people and love ungodly people and witness to ungodly people. We used to be those people. And if they don't get in Christ, that one day's coming. And judgment is coming on that day. Now, notice it says that the heavens and the earth, which are now, are kept and reserved by the same word. Young people, listen to me. You're going to have to wise up to your generation. You're going to have to wise up to the hour that you live in. Our generation is filled not just with fake news. I've been telling you the news is fake for 30-something years. There's fake science, junk science, and young people are swallowing this stuff down because they've never read a Bible. They've never been at a church. They've never had a good pastor tell them. The Bible says that the Word of God is upholding everything and that God is keeping the earth reserved for the day of the Lord. We cannot destroy this planet. God's word created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11:2. We understand this as Christians that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1 says, God said, let there be the heavens. God said, let there be a lion. God said, let there be a tree. Everything was created by God's word. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, everything's being upheld by God's word. That's why God can't lie. That's why God won't lie. If God breaks his word one time, if everything was created, everything you see, all material things were created by God's word. And God's word is keeping it together. God's word is holding that chair together. God's word is holding this building together. He's upholding all things by the word of his fire. For him to lie one time, everything would disintegrate. That's why I can count on the word of God no matter what junk science is out there. No matter how much fake news, fake science, fake professors. God's word says this planet is reserved and kept by the word of God for the day of God's judgment. Everything, ultimately the wood in this guitar. Not a lot of wood in there. But everything else came out of the word of God. This wood came from God's word. Well, no, it didn't. It come from Gibson. Gibson made that guitar. No, where did they get the wood? They got it from a tree. Where'd the tree come from? Come from a seed. Where'd that seed come from? A tree. Where'd that tree come from? If I had enough time, I could take you all the way back to the first tree where God said, tree be, and tree was, and God spoke to tree and said, have seeds and multiply and reproduce yourself. The oil came from God. Amen. Did you know a few years ago the EPA said that carbon dioxide is a poison? Carbon dioxide is a poison? How many of you graduated from... Don't raise your hand. If you graduated from high school, you know that's a lie. How many of you know what the trees breathe? How many of you know what all the bushes breathe? Guess what they exhale? You're alive. Because the tree breathes carbon dioxide. We need some carbon dioxide. Everything is kept in store until the day of the Lord and the day of His judgment. Don't misunderstand me. I do believe in global warming. It just happens in one day. One day. Fire. You talk about hot. It's going to get hot that day. And you better know Jesus. You better be who you need to be in your body before the day of the Lord. Before the day of the Lord. Now, verse 8 says, but beloved, we're not ignorant, or don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is as with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God is not, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We don't have to complicate this. That is simple. Some things are hard in the Bible, no doubt. But that's not hard. God says, here's my will. Here's what I will. Listen up. I want everybody to be saved. Here's my will. I want everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want everybody to repent. God's will is that everybody gets saved, but not everybody is being saved. God's will, when He sent Jesus, wasn't to die for some predestinated, select, elect group. God didn't handpick a few of us as special and elect us and not elect other human beings created in His image and in His likeness. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, not the select elect. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Mark chapter 16, I'm under commandment because I love God. He told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. And he that believeth, that's a choice, and is baptized, that's following up on your choice, will be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We get to choose. You get to choose whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. You get to choose whether you're going to live with God for eternity or live with evil and darkness and the devil himself for eternity. We get to choose. We have to choose. And we need to choose, and we need to choose wisely, every single one of us. When you look back on creation, God forever settled this question of what He allows, He doesn't will. When He created Adam and Eve, He put them in a garden and He said, there's thousands of trees. You can eat of all of them. The God I serve, the guy I walk with, He's a yes guy. It's yes, yes, thousands of yeses, and then one no. And He says, here's my will. My word is my will. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you do eat, because you have a free will, you have a free choice. The only reason God put that tree in the garden in the first place is because you have to have a choice to be in His image and in His likeness. And the choice has to be real. It can't be fake. It can't be manipulated by God. You have to choose. He loves you that much. He won't make you do what's right. He won't make you love Him. You have to choose. And so He says, don't eat of it. And if you do eat of it, you're surely going to die. In the day you eat, you're going to die. So God says, I will to give you a free will to choose. I'm counseling you, choose wisely. But you really have the right to choose unwisely. And they chose unwisely. And guess what? Consequences were invoked. Now watch this. This is powerful. God comes down. Adam, where are you? Have you ate of that tree? I told you not to eat of. Adam's stupid. Sin will make you stupid. He's hiding in a bush. from God. And God says, come here. And then God invoked consequences. Held him accountable to his decision. And watch this. Adam blamed two people. Adam said, hey, it's the woman that you gave me. Now watch this. People today are still blaming others and even God for the bad that's in their lives. Amen. I'm answering a lot of questions. What's wrong with our generation? They're still in Adam and they're still blaming God. They're mad at God and they're blaming other people for their own actions and the consequences of their own actions and their own lives. So Adam blames the woman, blames God. God goes to the woman. Because you've done this, it's going to affect reproduction now and childbearing and other things. What's the woman do? Blames the snake. God goes to the snake. I kind of feel sorry for the snake. The snake didn't have a leg to stand on. Poor devil didn't have anybody to blame. He's looking around, man, I don't know. God says, because you've done this, you're going to crawl on your belly now, eat the dust of the earth. Remember all that. And then he says that I'm sending the seed of the woman, and you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. Now watch this. This is profound. Listen to me. Look at me. I'm closing here. Please listen. God didn't say, you know what? I'm kind of at fault somewhat here. I did allow the devil to tempt you. I did put the tree in the garden. So, you know, I'm kind of part to blame here too. God took no responsibility for the evil they committed, the bad that they did, and the poor choice they made. But here's what God did. He loved them so much, he took personal responsibility to fix the mess they created. The good news today is God loves me so much, he'll take personal responsibility for my even poor choices to bring redemptive things out of it. Because he knows I'm seeking him, I'm praying. He knows I love him with all of my heart. And he knows ultimately I'm called according to his purpose. Man, I hope you got something out of this. Hallelujah. I just want to go to the takeaway. I only got halfway through the message today. We'll pick this back up. But in the takeaway for our life groups and for those of you that literally just now all over the world, you're doing these home churches and groups. And the takeaway is real simple. Number one, you're going to have problems in this world. We're going to have to face that and get real about it. Number two, don't blame God. You may be confused, but don't blame God. And then number three, we have to learn now to submit to God in these problems. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. Father, I love these people with all of my heart.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma, 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.